let's take our Bibles this morning and let's go over to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12. Romans 5, 12. Now, I got to tell you something. The gospel is very divisive. Now, I'm not claiming that there's something wrong with the gospel, and I'm not saying that it's a bad thing by any means, but Jesus said it best. He said that the truth will cause divisions even in families. It'll cause husbands and wives to have a division. It'll cause sons and fathers and daughters and mothers to have a division. The gospel of the Lord Jesus is very divisive. In other words, it's a thing that is really clear cut. It cuts like a two-edged sword. It divides. There is no gray areas in the gospel, and there's no maybes, and there's no 99% truth to the gospel of the Lord Jesus and to what the word that you're holding in your hands right now, which is the word of God. It's all truth or it's all untruth. And so we know that the Bible is God's word, it's truth, and so we got to latch on to that and believe it with all of our hearts. Now, here's where the dilemma comes in. We get saved. Now, it's very easy to get saved. All you got to do is trust in the Lord Jesus, put your faith and your confidence in Him. The Bible even makes it even easier than that. Believe with the faith that He gives you. Believe. Just speak with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved. Now here, that's the easy part, getting saved. Now the harder part is what we do to ourselves. We beat ourselves up. And one of the reasons that we beat up ourselves spiritually is we don't actually read God's word deep enough sometime, and we don't believe it with our whole heart sometime. We keep going back to that carnal nature that we have. We continue to let Satan throw darts at us and confuse us. Now, we're going to talk about a subject this morning that I wrote a little article about in the newsletter this past week. It's probably something that is probably one of the hardest things to understand in the Christian faith. And that is that you, listen to me now, you are holy. And you might say, well, preacher, what does holy mean? Well, what holy means is perfect, completely pure. In the Old Testament, it's defined as white as snow. It is purity in its best form. And the next question would, of course, be, well, I sure don't feel holy or perfect or clear all of the time. Well, neither do I. And the reason that we don't feel that way is because we have a sin nature that's born into us. And we're going to read this passage in just a minute, but I want to go through this. You are born in sin. From the day that you are born, you born into a carnal state. You inherited from your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. We could go back a lot of greats, but we all have that same person as the beginning of our roots and genealogy, and that is Adam. That's where we get our roots from. That's where we get our sin from. We get our sin nature from him. Now, we know ourselves, and we know our thoughts, and we know our minds. I don't always have good, lovely, wonderful thoughts in my mind. My mind is like a it's kind of like a filter. It catches a lot of bad things sometimes. What I've heard some people say is we need to renew our minds by doing a brain flush once in a while. Amen. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You know that the state of your mind and the way that you think sometimes. And so you know what kind of a person you are because you're born in the flesh. You live in the flesh. But now, here's the thing that we got to remember. 2,000 years ago, God the Father did something, the most miraculous thing that's ever happened in the history of mankind. Nothing will ever top this. 2,000 years ago, God came down to earth in the spirit of Jesus. And of course, we understand there's the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one according to the Bible and according to Jesus. The Trinity, we refer to it. And God sent part of himself, he sent his Son Jesus down to earth so that he could become a sacrifice for man's sin. And the reason he did that was because men were failing miserably trying to keep the law. He had given the law to Moses, and he'd given all of the sacrifices, and he'd given all of the festives and all of the holidays and all of the things that's in the law, the do's and the don'ts. Man was failing miserably in keeping the law. Jesus said, we'll do it another way. We'll make a new covenant or a new contract, and I'm going to send my Son to be the mediator of this contract. You see, nothing else would do. The old sacrifices that was under the law, the shedding of blood of bullocks and lambs, only covered the people's sin for 1 year. On the Day of Atonement, when they did the Day of Atonement with the high priest, then they had the blood of the animals that they could take the blood and sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant with a hyssop branch. And, of course, if it was done correctly, and if God accepted their sacrifice that day in the Day of Atonement with the blood of an animal, then he would cover their sins for a year, and they'd be all right for another year. And so if they died in that time, within that year, they were pure and clean. One of the problems were the people weren't clean. They weren't doing the sacrifices right. They weren't living right. They weren't living like pure and holy people. So, well, God says, we're going to make a new contract. I'm going to send my Son Jesus to earth, and he's going to live like a man in flesh. Unheard of, that God would come down to earth and take on the flesh and be born of a Virgin Mary and be flesh and blood. He was the same as you and I genetically. He had 23 sets of chromosomes. He bled blood. He had a temperature. He had a sugar level. Everything that we have, he had. He was completely flesh. God became flesh so that he could become sin for us. And they took him out on a cross, and they sacrificed him and shed his blood. And so then we didn't have to worry about the blood of animals anymore to cover our sins for 1 year. On the Day of Atonement, it had been done. It was a one-time thing. It was done with perfect blood because it was God's blood. And that was not just a covering for sin. It was a cleansing of sin. So in the Old Testament, it was covering. And in the New Testament, it's cleansing. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about this situation. Let's go to Romans 7. Verse 21. Paul wrote this, and he understood and knew his sinful flesh side. Now, Paul was a Christian. He was saved. He accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. and which made him holy. Now, listen to what Paul cries out in 7:21 here. I find, Paul speaking, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present within me. Do you relate to that? I do. I relate. When I got good intentions, I would do good, but I got a law here that evil is present within me. Now, then, too many people will take that and they will use it to start beating themselves up with it. And Satan will attack you with that. He will bring all of these guilt feelings on you. He will try to convince you that you're not worthy. I witnessed to a woman in the cancer center in Gainesville one time who had cancer, and she had never placed her faith in the Lord Jesus, didn't know very much at all about the Bible, and I invited her, after giving her the gospel, to become a Christian, and she looked at me and she said, I'm unworthy. Unworthy. Well, you know what? The Bible says that Christ died for us in just the shape that we were in. He died for us in the situation, in that sinful nature that we were in. He didn't wait for us to get good enough, because if he'd have waited till we got good enough, he'd have never went to the cross, because we'll never be good enough. Satan will use this against you and beat you up and beat you up and beat you up, and your family members and your friends and people who know you, they will use it against you. Now, if you are claiming to be a Christian and are a Christian, and you have to live out there in the world like we all do, you're going to have darts thrown at you all the time by members of your family and people who are your neighbors and your friends. Just do one thing that you're not supposed to do, and I guarantee you they're going to bring attention to it. Oh, I thought you was a Christian. Oh, I didn't know Christians talk like that. I didn't know that Christians would drink a beer. I didn't know that Christians would live like that, or gossip or talk like that. They're quick to throw darts at you, and they're quick to point out that Christians are not supposed to live like that. The key word is not supposed to, but the other thing is you were born into sin nature, and you're going to sin. It's not about if I sin, it's when I sin. I don't know how you are, but I can promise you I'll sin every day. Not because I want to, but because it's in my sin nature, it's going to happen. I already caught myself this morning before I left home thinking some mean thoughts about some people who had done me wrong, or I thought had done me wrong, or that I was trying to think about, you know, how could I, you know, evil thoughts come in your mind. You've been attacked. I've been attacked, and so the thing is, the sin nature will make you want to fight back and scratch back. I got to tell you something. We're supposed to be in a completely submissive mode, and we're supposed to be in a passive mode, but it's not always easy. So what I'm trying to teach you this morning is one principle, and here it is. No matter what you think about yourself this morning, no matter how guilty you feel, or how unworthy you feel, or how beat up you feel, how you beat yourself up, how others beat yourself up, or how Satan attempts to beat you up, if you are a child of God, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and you profess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you are a perfect, holy vessel unto God. Perfect, pure, clean. Does not mean that you're not going to sin, but God sees you as a vessel in perfection, because He has cleaned you up. Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sin, He will forgive us of our sin. And he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He will make us pure. So the day that you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, you became holy, clean, pure, and the Holy Spirit entered into you. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost lives in you now. And he will reside in you. There's no such thing as 99% pure. Nothing like that. There's nothing 99% holy. There's not an idea that, well, I've been pretty good this week. I hadn't sinned. I've been going to church and I've been trying to live right. I've been catching myself before sin. And so, you know, man, I feel good. I feel I'm almost there. I feel like I'm there. I feel like I'm 99% pure this week and holy this week, because I just, the two or three little old sins that I committed were, a little insignificant sins. Well, there's no other thing as an insignificant sin, but we beat ourselves up with the fact that we say, well, I did this Tuesday, and so that kind of like, you know, drove a little wedge between me and God, but that's all right, because I'm still 99.9% pure. That's not true. You can't be 99.9% pure. If you are a child of God, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and confidence in him, friend, you are 100% pure. 100% clean and 100% holy, because Jesus died for your sin under the new covenant on the cross 2,000 years ago. His blood cleansed you of all your sin forever, and you will never, ever have to worry about your sin nature anymore. Now, you do need to be aware of your sin nature, and you need to stay on top of it, and you're to guard your mind and renew your mind. And we need to try to strive against sinful thoughts and sinful natures. These things come upon us. We need to just start praying and finding ways to overcome them. But don't ever let the world or Satan or anybody else, even in your own mind, convince yourself that you're not holy and that you're not pure and that you're not clean. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, this is a really, really hard thing to get a hold of. Because when we sin, and especially when we really just blow up and have a meltdown sometime, it's really hard after that to see yourself as perfect. That's the way God sees you. When you're his child, you're perfect in him. Now, you got to be careful with this thing. Do not get to the point to where you think that because you are perfect and you are holy that you can sin and it'll be all right. It breaks God's heart for you to sin. Don't think that you can use this as an excuse for your sin. Well, I can go do what I want to because I'm holy. Apostle Paul warns about that, and he warns that you have to be very careful with this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. According as he hath chosen us in him. God chose you. You didn't choose him. When he chose his disciples, the 12 disciples, he chose them. They didn't choose him. They were all busy. they were caught up in the things of this life and this world. Andrew and Peter and James and John were fishermen, and they were fishing and washing their nets and catching fish and repairing boats and trying to live as best they could in the Jewish law. Matthew was collecting taxes, and all the rest of them were doing things and busy. They didn't chase God down. They didn't chase Jesus down. They didn't go and request that they become his disciples. He walked to them. He spoke to them. And he said, follow me. Follow me. They had an irresistible call. They couldn't help it. They had to follow him once he called, and we'll get to that in just a minute biblically. I want you to understand this thing. You were chosen. You were chosen, and you were part of the elect. Now, when God chooses you, he made you completely whole, and he changed you, and he made a new creature out of you. And I'm going to keep going back to the fact you're still going to sin and you're still going to do things, but you are completely whole. And once he has chosen you, you are going to be perfect in Christ Jesus, and you're going to be perfect and holy. Let's go to John. Let's follow up on this thought by going to chapter 6 of John. Chapter 6 of John. Let's begin reading in 35. There's a whole passage here that we need to read to get the whole thing. John chapter 6. Now here's what I want to show you. I want to show you that he chose you. You didn't choose him. He died for you just in the condition that you were in. There's no more argument that, well, I'm not good enough, or I'm not worthy, or I've been too bad, or I've been this way or that way. Because when God cleans something up, he cleans it up perfectly clean and perfectly pure, and there's no more sin. You ever thought about this? When the end times comes, the Bible says there's going to be two places where people's going to go to face God. One is going to be, and this is found in Revelation, one of those places is going to be the great white throne of judgment. That's where people who has rejected Christ is going to go to be judged. And then the Bible says they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Christians, you and I will not go to the great white throne of judgment. We're going to the judgment seat of Christ. But we're not going to be judged at all. You know why we're not going to be judged? Because we don't have no sin to be judged for. He's already forgiven us of our sins and made us pure and holy and clean. What we're going to be, we'll have rewards given to us at the judgment seat of Christ. And in some cases, we may he may remind us of some things that we could have done that we didn't do. But the difference is that the people who have sinned will go to the great white throne of judgment. And the people that don't have sin is going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And the first thing you popped in your mind there was, well, I guess I'll go to the great white throne of judgment because I got plenty of sin in my life now. I told you this 10 times this morning already. You got to get it through your mind. If you're a Christian and if you're a child of God and you're trusted in the Lord Jesus, you don't have sin in your life. You commit sin, but you don't have sin. You've been made pure and holy and clean. You ain't never going back there again, no matter how you try. You may go back there and commit sin. You may continue to commit sin, but you're never going to get a bit holier or pure than you are right now. Let's see what Jesus said about some of these things in John chapter 6, verse 35, beginning. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He wasn't talking about real hunger pains. He was talking about spiritual hunger and wants and needs. And he wasn't talking about tangible things. He was talking about spiritual things. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father has given me shall come to me. And he's talking about people. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. A lot of people's got it in their mind, well, if I start sinning and backsliding, I'm going to lose my salvation. You can't lose your salvation. Once you've been saved, you're sealed in the Holy Spirit, and God is going to continue that work in you that he began. You're never going to be lost again. You're going to stay sealed forever and forever and ever. You may still fall back into sin sometime, but you're never going to lose your salvation. For I came down, he's talking about, Jesus is saying, he was in heaven with the Father. He said, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In other words, what he's saying right there is the Father had a work for me to do, a taunting work, and he sent me to earth in the form of flesh, and my name is Jesus, because he had something for me to do, and he sent me. And this, he explains what the Father's will is, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. That everybody in here ought to be shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord. Because everything that God has given Jesus, that's you and me, he says, I will lose nothing. I will not lose it. I will not give it up. Satan ain't getting it back. It's mine, and I am going to raise them up on the last day. Sometime, you and I are going to die. I don't know when that is, unless Jesus comes back for the church first. But in any event, he made us a promise. Of all that God has given me, I will lose nothing, and I will raise it up on the last day. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but here's what it did for me. When I was a Christian, but I was what you call a back row Christian, but I really, when I got a hold of this thing and understood that I am chosen, that he chose me, and he gave me an irresistible call, and that when I was in his hand, he said, I'll lose nothing. I'm not going to lose him. I'm going to raise him up on the last day. That just made me more and more committed to Jesus Christ. Man, I fell in love deeper with him, and deeper, and it's going deeper, and it's getting sweeter and better every day. Because I know I am his. He chose me. He cleaned me up. He cleansed me. And he has placed me in the Father's hand. And he says, I will not lose him. He will be raised up on the last day. And that just thrills my heart. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What a promise. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, I don't know you all the time. I'm not around y'all all the time. But I do know this. When you give me your testimony that you are saved and that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I know this, that you are saved, sealed until the day of redemption. You can't get loose, no matter what you do, and no matter what happens to you, and no matter how much sin besets you, you still have been made perfectly pure and holy and clean. And you're going to remain until the day of redemption. You're not going to change. Be very careful with this. Don't use it as an excuse to go out and commit more sin. He's made you perfect. He's made you clean. In your eyes, you're perfect. You may sin. You may commit sin. But you belong to Him. Now, my thing is this, and I urge everybody this way. If you are saved, and if you belong to Him, act like it. He expects it from you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of those commandments was to be faithful and to come to church. That ain't in the Bible, somebody says. Yes, it is. The Bible says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, as some do. God expects His children to worship Him in church, in public worship, in corporate worship, somewhere. We have a lot of people that come through here. For one reason or another, they leave. I always tell them the same thing, and Brother Leroy the same thing. I love you, but go, if you're going to leave this church, go and get associated with another church. Immediately, not next month, next Sunday, because that's what God expects. He expects you to act holy. He expects you to resist sin. He has sent His Holy Spirit to live in you, to convict you of your sin before you ever do it. When you think about it, if you're a Christian, it's going to pop in your mind. I shouldn't say that or participate in this. You already got it. Don't do it. Live a holy life. Live a pure and clean life. Live a life in front of the world so that they can see the light of the Lord Jesus in you and the truthfulness of the Lord Jesus in you. Any questions? I generally don't ask for questions, but if you have a question now that is pertinent to what we've been talking about, not something out in left field, but if you have a question about holiness or perfectness, now's the time. If you don't understand it completely, let's try to get it ironed out. You got it? Walter, are you perfect now? So you ain't got to worry about all them sins you did last week. You know you're perfect, okay? John, you know you're holy. You ain't going to get no more holy than you already are. You're already 100% holy, and nothing's going to change that. Miss D, do you have a question?
Yes, you did say that when it comes time for
that's exactly right. You can't be judged on your sin if you're a Christian because you don't have any sin. You're absent of sin. Nothing, no sin in you. So if you die, you die without your sin free and holy. But we will stand before God and He will hand out rewards at that time. And the Bible is not really clear on these rewards, but rewards may not be given to you at that time because of opportunities that you might have missed or things that you might have done or just things that you didn't do. And I like the way the old song puts it. The reason you'll be given these crowns is so that you can go and place them at Jesus' feet. Amen. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Amen. But a Christian, if you got somebody in your family who was a Christian and they trusted and put their faith in the Lord Jesus, now I'm not talking about, I'm absolutely not talking about professing to be a Christian, okay? Now, you can ask, I guarantee you, if I walk around this circle here and ask everybody that I meet, hey, friend, are you a Christian? Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes, sir. I'm a Christian. Well, I mean, everybody, just about all of them, very few people will say no. Once in a while, one will say, no, I'm not a Christian. But just about everybody say they're Christian. Everybody's going to profess the Christian faith, but they don't live the Christian faith. They won't talk about Jesus unless you push them into it. They might yell out Jesus when they hit the finger with the hammer or something like that. But if you have a family member who is absolutely a Christian, and that is one who has been chosen of God and one who lives their life so that you can see the fruits of Christianity in their life, then you don't have to worry about them ever being judged for the sin or going out into eternity with sin in them. They are absolutely clean and absolutely holy. I've been asked to preach funerals for people who I didn't know. They didn't have a pastor. The family didn't have a pastor. They didn't go to church. And I've stood in and preached funerals for people I didn't have no idea who it was. But they wanted a pastor to say a few words over them. And they would tell me, some of them would say, well, they were a good Christian man. They were a good Christian. I cannot bring myself to stand up there at a funeral and preach that this person's in heaven today because I don't know. I don't know what kind of life they lived. I don't know if they was a Christian or not. I certainly hope they were, and I pray that they were. But I don't know that. That's between them and God. And so for me to stand up there and say, well, this brother or this sister was a good person, a good Christian person, and I know they in heaven today. If I tell people that, somebody out in the audience may say, well, I'm as good as they were. They've done the same thing I did, so I guess if they go to heaven, I'm going to heaven with them, you know. So that makes me a preacher of false doctrine right there if I get up and do. I can't do that. I have a hard time doing that. I have a hard time marrying people who are not Christians. I've had people come and ask me, would you marry me and my boyfriend? Well, why don't you get your pastor to marry you? Oh, I don't have a pastor. I don't go to church. We just don't go to church. Well, you know, if you don't go to church, in my opinion, if you don't go to church and if you don't live in a Christ-like manner and as a Christian, and you're going to live in the world, if that's what you put in, you're going to do is live in the world, you don't need to come to me to marry you. You need to go get the secular world to marry you. You need to go to the judge or the justice of the peace. And I'm not doing that because I want to be judgmental. I know who my brothers and sisters are. Now, Bobby, when he comes and asks me to marry him, I'm going to marry him to whoever he chooses. Amen. Amen. John, when you find your soulmate, you come see me, and I'll marry you. Amen. But and they know I'm just picking at them. They know that. I want you to understand that you're as saved as you're ever going to get. You're as holy as you're ever going to get. Amen. Y'all understand that. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for coming today and being in our presence. Thank you for this message. It's a really hard thing to understand for us, Lord, because we still live in this carnal body that we live in. But we're just going to take your word for it. That's in your word that you have made us holy and you have saved us and purified us and cleansed us from all of our sin and cast our sin as far away from us as the east is from the west. Thank you for that, Father. And I pray that each one here will go in your name this week. And, Lord, that will live a life in front of others so that they will know that they are Christians. In the name of Jesus, I pray today. Amen. Amen. Say hello to somebody.